This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Coming to the bat for the answers here.
The one show that helps you make better money moves. The program all about your money, your business, and your life.
You guys talk about a lot of really good information that even I can understand.
Call Ray now at 844-RAY-SHOW, 844-RAY-SHOW. This is the Ray Lucia Show.
On radio where you can see my standing ovations just like that. Johnny Dean.
I love those.
In the house. Hey, Johnny.
I don't know why I didn't think to do that when I was, you know, sitting in the host chair for all those years.
Well, that's why I
to have applause. Well, what's wrong? It's an obvious thing to have the audience stand up.
That's all good. Well, I guess
Sorry. I'm talking. I'm good. Hold on.
I guess I needed to put my microphone on. It helps in radio. See, I'm so used to TV producers around me and all that stuff.
You're used to having TV producers, used to having union people, big thugs come around
Absolutely.
And put your microphone on you.
Listen, I got a lot on the agenda today, Big John. I want to talk about a couple of things here. One is this whole idea of maximizing the retirement paycheck. And looking back on some research that I found in Research Magazine, as a matter of fact, a year or two ago.
Yeah.
But Michael Fink, who is the...
he's on the show a lot, his name.
His name is... Well, yeah. he's one of these geniuses, I think from Texas Tech. Yeah, Texas Tech University. He's a CFP, CFA, CF everything.
Yeah.
And he wrote on this, and I want to talk about it because it's really, really important as we get into some other stuff. GlidePath. This was interesting because they did a study here recently with 401k plans, and you understand GlidePath.
Yes,
right?
I understand.
But
yeah.
Nobody else does.
It's a simple
talk
thing,
about,
really?
They talk about that in 401k plans, and they found out that most of the employees have no idea what it means to have a reducing equity GlidePath as part of your 401k, which incidentally may work up until retirement, but according to Michael Fink research and
yes,
others,
yes.
Not such a smart idea. I'll tell you about that. I don't know about this in this program. But what I wanted to cover today is Cleveland Clinic and others came out with their top medical innovations for 2019. And then I saw this other one. As you know, I study this stuff, and I'm really, really fascinated by it. You will become more fascinated as you get older, by the way.
I find myself only slightly more fascinated. This stuff had no interest with 15 years ago.
Forget it.
I couldn't care less.
And the seven medical breakthroughs of 2018. We are going to be living longer, folks. So sit back, relax. It's the Ray Program helping you make better money moves.
So they have them for 2018, and then the ones that are going to be
projected
coming up in
2019. So let's start with 2018, seven medical breakthroughs. A lot of this is really fast. Maybe the people think this is boring. I don't. And I think if you're in your 60s right now, you're going to think that this is not boring at all because it could mean living an extra year, 2 years, 5 years, 20 years. Who knows?
Well, we'll just rattle them off. And,
all right,
you know,
number one, the world's first baby was born from a transplanted womb of a dead donor. First one ever in 2018.
Oh, so somebody had one donated. I got you. Okay. Wow. That's
number
interesting.
Two. Yeah, it is. It's very interesting.
Whoa.
Breakthrough in lung cancer treatment cuts risk of dying by 50%. So we talk about living longer. Lung cancer, death sentence. You know, you get lung cancer. Typically, it's a death sentence. It's just a question of when.
It is, especially in like the latter stages. Sure.
So cuts the risk of dying by 50%. That is statistically significant.
Sure.
Next, scientists may have discovered a way to prevent peanut allergies. I've known some young kids and so forth that have had peanut allergies. That's very serious stuff.
Well, it is. You know, and here's that usual question. I'm sure it's been asked before. But, you know, when we were young, I mean, there was none of this stuff. So what happened, you know, in the intervening years... That, I mean, nobody got sick.
What caused,
did you ever
your
see
point
it?
Is, what all of a sudden caused the peanut allergy?
It
I think
seems
kids
like
were probably dying,
25
and nobody
years.
Knew why.
I don't know. Did you ever see, well, whatever. Guess it doesn't matter.
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
I don't know. All I know is they're very near discovering a way to prevent
good
peanut allergies.
Because I'd like to see them back on airplanes, if you don't mind.
Yeah, you got the I was on an airplane the other day.
You get raisins and which
are
all right.
You get some stupid mix with pretzels and stuff like that in it.
Yeah,
although on American Airlines, they still warm up the warm nuts for you.
They don't
ask you if you've got a peanut allergy. I guess if you go into some fit in the middle of a flight, they just nose
Well, they dive. Have EpiPens or something. I don't know what they have.
Now, how about this one? Could this be a future cancer vaccine? Here's what they said. This medical breakthrough of 2018 may be one step closer to the eternal quest to conquer cancer. A shot containing two compounds that stimulate the immune system was injected directly into tumors, killing the cancerous cells.
Wow. In people, I wonder?
Yeah.
Wow.
And besides that, a further study in April suggested, this is April of last year, suggested that researchers may be closer to making this vaccine a reality. They've got some additional trials that are planned.
Oh, sure.
And as you know, you've got to be patient with this stuff, folks. You don't expect that, you know, you hear something today and tomorrow, if you have cancer, you're going to be cured. You just have to be patient because it takes time. 5, how the new Apple Watch can save your life. You're wearing, it's a
Garmin. It counts steps and all that stuff.
Well, what they say here is they're able to detect when a user falls.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
which
yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Should the person not move for more than a minute, an alert is sent and emergency services are contacted immediately. They also have that EKG, ECG,
yes.
or whatever function.
Sure.
I bought the little cardia thing and I take my EKG, which incidentally, folks, for a fat guy, is pretty darn good.
you're not as big as you were.
Well, not as big as I was, say, you know, 15 years ago.
No, you're older than that. You're younger than that now or whatever.
Now, did you see this guy that got the face transplant?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of them. I saw one just
this,
a
this
week
guy
or two
had
ago.
It done twice because he got some kind of an infection. He's had two face plants or face plants.
Well,
face. whatever they're called.
Yeah.
Transplants.
I've had two face plants this
morning.
I've
had many of them playing football in college.
Yes.
I had many face plants. Fortunately, for one of those years, I actually had more than a single bar.
That's good. Because as I recall, on the stairs recently, you had another type of face plant.
I didn't know. I fell backwards. And I'm going in for an MRI tomorrow because I can barely walk. That's been bothering me for a while. And then 3 paralyzed patients now walk thanks to breakthrough technology.
Yeah, a lot of that was like stem cell and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't pretend to know anything about it.
Yeah, so and that was 2018. In 2019, we get from the Cleveland Clinic. What do we got from the Cleveland Clinic here? How much time do I have?
3 minutes, a little less.
Okay, alternative therapy for pain, fighting the opioid crisis. So getting rid of opioids and a replacement for the opioids. That's huge. Especially when you talk about the government costs and so forth of the opioid crisis, not to mention the fact that life expectancies come down in the U.S. because of suicide and opioid mostly.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Big.
The advent of AI.
Artificial intelligence.
Yeah. Today, artificial intelligence is helping physicians make smarter decisions at the point of care, improving the ease and accuracy of viewing patient scans and reducing physical burnout. They're using the AI in a lot of different ways, including helping to train physicians and so forth.
Oh, that's huge.
Expanded window for acute stroke intervention. When it comes to a stroke intervention, a timely response is critical. Prolonged lack of blood flow following a stroke can cause irreversible destruction, they say,
yes.
often resulting in disability. In many cases of stroke, intervention methods can be deployed to save tissue, but until now, intervention of a stroke has only been recommended within a limited window of time. So they've come up with a way to lengthen the time frame, which should certainly, expanding the window, I should say, and hopefully give individuals an opportunity for recovery.
From when a stroke happens to when they can actually get in and treat it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Advances in immunotherapy for cancer treatment. Again, they're making such incredible findings in cancer therapy. So cancer immunotherapy or biologic therapy is a technique that uses the body's own immune system to fight cancer. I've heard some stories about this one. This is really incredible.
Yeah.
They basically take your own cells and inject them into the tumors, and it fights off the tumor, and the next thing you know,
I've heard of that.
You're cancer-free or whatever. Yeah. Next, patient-specific products achieved with 3D printing. Now, who would have thought that little photocopy machine was going to help?
That Epson printer over there.
I've got a little Epson printer.
Yeah.
But it's incredible because what they're able to do is actually do 3D prints of your organs and all that stuff and customize whatever it is that you need to your own body specifications.
Isn't that something? Do you still get the PC load letter error message on the 3D printer?
I'm
waiting for a liver, and it's saying out of tissue.
Oh, they're saying out of ink. virtual and mixed reality for medical education. They're using this for education. And visor for pre-hospital stroke diagnosis.
Download the Biz Talk Radio app. Available in iOS, Android, and BlackBerry. Biz Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome back, folks. This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Hey, by the way, Ray, I should mention that this segment is a service of our longtime friend, Lynn Rowe.
Yeah.
You know Lynn.
The tiny dancer.
Lynn Rowe, I don't know about CFP. The dancing part, but she's
when I first met her, she was a semi-professional ballroom dancer.
Get out of here. I did not know that.
You've either that or she worked at a gentleman's club.
No,
Lynn Rowe would be the last
no.
person. Just kidding.
If you had a list of the entire world's population that are likely
she
to
would
dance,
be the last
she'd
one.
Be the very she'd be number 7 billion, whatever.
But she was a ballroom dancer and she was very good at it, and I met her partner and they were both very, very good together.
You know what? She'd be easy to pick up and twirl around and do all that stuff. She weighs
absolutely.
Like 40 pounds.
Yeah, that soaking wet.
That's right. Anyway, she's available to talk about things like, and you'll be discussing more of this as well, long-term care, living longer, and all that kind of stuff, through the website and a phone number. IWantMyLTC.net. LTC, like long-term care.
Yeah, she's an expert in
IWantMyLTC.net. She's a certified financial planner. And if you want the phone number, here it is, 877-270-3127.
Lynn Rowe, CFP. You know, we were talking about medical breakthroughs, and I didn't get to all of them. Innovation in robotic surgery, mitral and tricuspid valve percutaneous.
Well, sure. We talk about that all the time. I'm having one done this afternoon.
Oh, here's an easy one. RNA based therapies. You know, if you can't pronounce it, you shouldn't talk about it on the radio.
No, we're going to leave that other one off.
But it's very promising. I mean, there's so many of them. This one I need because of this stupid, you know, remember about 10 years ago, I put a headset on and somehow the volume was all, and fortunately I put it up on my left ear and it just
and it cranked
in my
up
ear. Well, since then I haven't been able to hear as well out of my left ear.
Oh.
So they have new hearing aid solutions. I'll be interested in that. Stem cell, you brought this up.
Mm-hmm.
Treatments for type 1 diabetes. This is all coming in 2019. Genome specific medication. So they map your, you know, your DNA, and then they can specifically I mean, it's just in whatever this is, using particle accelerators to remove brain tumors.
Isn't that the proton therapy? Or I probably have that wrong, but particles
it's not
and
a
protons,
tumor.
I don't know.
Folks, I'm telling you, this is why, you know, we've been talking about all of these medical breakthroughs and drugs as life extenders, but it's why you need to begin to focus your portfolio and extend its life, its useful life, portfolio extenders, John.
Which is why we're talking about this. I mean, we're not a medical show, but from time to time, we like to bring up the fact that there's a very good chance, especially the younger you are, that you're going to live longer than you may have planned.
Yeah, and I will talk a little bit about Michael Fink. I teased him earlier. He wrote this piece, Maximizing the Retirement Paycheck, and that's kind of what this is all about. So if I may, let me quote from Michael Fink, originally published in Research Magazine. Here's what he had to say. Spending more each year in retirement means considering a range of investments and financial products specifically designed to give investors options for creating an income. Most retirees leave a lot of spending on the table by not creating a retirement income strategy. They claim Social Security at 62, invest in the money market, then spend the required minimum withdrawal from their retirement savings. These retirees are falling victim to what we call the endorsement effect. They think the government is telling them how to plan a retirement income strategy using rules that were created for a completely different purpose. That also speaks to the other thing that we teased, which is this whole idea of the default mechanism in a 401k plan, the so-called
glide path.
Rising bond glide path or declining equity glide path.
Yeah, what it means is that as you get closer to retirement, your exposure to equities is theoretically reduced, meaning that your risk that the market will do something weird the day you retire is reduced. I would suggest that if that's a problem for you, you have the wrong strategy, but that can be another discussion. But that's what they talk about, a glide path.
Yeah, and actually, I don't dispute that whole concept leading into retirement.
Oh, no, I don't either.
But post-retirement, it is the exact opposite.
Absolutely, and nobody talks about that.
Well, we talk about it, and we will at another date. I don't know about today. But here's what he had to say. Let's start with the first mistake, taking Social Security at 62. We beat this one to death, but it's worthy of a repeat. We're all a little overwhelmed, he goes on, by the complexity of Social Security claiming strategies. Don't be. If you're working with a client, he's obviously talking to advisors here,
right,
who has enough assets to see a financial advisor, they're going to live longer than the average retiree that Social Security uses to calculate how much income should increase with every year you wait to claim. In other words, if you have enough money to work with an advisor, you are typically wealthier, and wealthier people tend to live longer.
Yeah. Social Security claiming strategies are designed that if you live to the age, to the break-even age, somewhere in the early to mid-80s, it honestly doesn't matter whether you take it at 62 or 70.
That's right.
But for those who are going to live longer than that 83, 84, 85, especially considerably longer, then it makes a big difference.
Exactly. A recent study, he goes on, by the Social Security Administration shows that the longevity gap between the top half and the bottom half of earners has been widening in the recent decades. The top earning half of workers born in 1912 lived about a year longer than the bottom half. Among workers born in 1937, that gap widened to 5 years, and gains in longevity have increased in a nearly linear fashion by level of income. The top 10% earning men born in 1940 gained 6 years of longevity compared to men born in 1920, according to a study at the Brookings Institute. So obviously, the wealthier you are, the healthier you are, and the longer you're going to live.
It's been that way forever, quite frankly. It's not great, but that's the way it is.
Insurance companies already know that rich people are living longer. The new 2012 annuity longevity tables showed that a couple at age 65 is a 43% chance that one spouse will be alive to age 20,
you
compared
mean,
with a 20%
wait,
chance.
To age 20?
I'm sorry, did I say age 20?
Yes.
Age 95.
Oh, 95, okay.
To age 95. So, you know, it's almost a darn near 50% chance that one or the other will make it to age 95 today.
Statistically, sure.
Statistically speaking, and of course, the wealthier you are.
Well, you have access to better medical care. You've got all kinds of things.
Yeah, and it's just you don't live in a rat infested place where you can get disease and stuff like that.
Well,
too.
And you may not have been working a physically demanding job that took stuff out of you and kind of wrecked you, and you're probably less likely to engage in unhealthy behaviors, that kind of thing.
He also goes into annuity strategies, which we've talked a lot about. You know, if you're going to solve the portfolio extender issue, if you want to extend the life expectancy of your portfolio. And I gave a talk on this last week in New Orleans, as a matter of fact, in front of a bunch of financial people. And it was really interesting. When we come back, I'll explain exactly what I said to them, because extending the life of a portfolio is critically important if you're calling yourself a retirement planner.
And it's critically important for people who are facing retirement.
And it's even critically important if you're not. And I'll explain why when we come back. Stick around. This is The Ray Lucia Show.
You gotta be so cool.
us your feedback by emailing info@biztalkradio.com, or you can send us comments via the BizTalk Radio app.
What I like about Johnny Dean is he gets me prepared for this show every day by jacking me up on Mountain Dew. That's what I like about you.
Yeah, so I should emphasize his diet Mountain Dew because yes. You talked about, you know, being heavy earlier. Yes. I don't think that's a problem.
Of course, my wife says the fake sugar is just as bad as the real stuff.
It's not. I've been drinking that stuff for a long time. And we got Crystal
Light
today.
Your jeans are different than mine.
Well, they are, and I'm wearing
smaller.
Them today.
Welcome back, folks. We're talking about maximizing your retirement paycheck. I can't think of too many financial maneuvers, if you will, that are more important than making sure you don't run out of money before you run out of time. The problem that I see, and John, I'm going to do a world tour on this.
Okay, all right.
Absolutely convinced that people need to see this firsthand to believe it.
Okay.
Because it's unbelievable.
All right. Well, you're
in a good way and in a weird way.
Well, let's explain this now.
So I talked about, you know, this whole idea of, you know, you postpone Social Security, all kinds of, you know, basic stuff that you can do. But when Dr. Fowle, another one of these researchers, did this study a couple of years ago, optimizing retirement income by combining actuarial science and investments. This is exactly what I talked about just the other day back in New Orleans, which by the way, to all my fans and friends in New Orleans, I just love that place.
You haven't been back there. Has it been like...
It's been several years now.
Pre-Katrina or was it...
No. I was there after Katrina. Actually, Cavuto and I did a seminar for the after Katrina folks.
Oh, right. Okay. But it's still been a long time.
It's been quite a long while. We lost the radio station in the Katrina thing. You know?
Got drowned out is what happened.
But anyway... What Fowle did is really, really impressive. So let me just cut to the chase here. He's doing a 50-year-old. He did a 35-year-old and a 50-year-old. And he's making certain assumptions here. So the 50-year-old in this example has $625,000 in their 401k plan. And between he and his spouse, or she and her spouse, I don't know if it's a him and a her. What do I know?
Well, it's two spouses.
Yeah, yes. $32,000 of savings each year.
Oh.
So they still need about $400,000 of life insurance for family needs, which is pretty obvious.
All right.
And so what they do is they say, well, you've got three scenarios here.
Okay.
Scenario one is you buy term and invest the rest.
Just like we talked about on the show as well last week and the week before. Right. We've heard that.
So the term premium's $1,312. You got to pay taxes on that. Of $437. So the amount of money that's left over that they can put into the 401k plan, $30,251. Total cash flow, $32,000. That's scenario one.
Okay.
Scenario two is exactly the same thing, except that at age 65, 15 years later,
right,
the term obviously expires.
Yep.
And at that point, they're putting the $30,251 away, but they take an amount of the death benefit, whatever the death benefit would be, and buy a lifetime income joint annuity. A joint SPIA.
Yeah, which is a single premium immediate annuity. You put a lump sum in, and that becomes...
For husband and wife. So if the guy dies early, the wife... And then the third scenario is a whole life or universal life, some kind of a permanent life insurance policy. Now here, the premium is $13,500 and the taxes are $4,500.
Now, and that, you compare that to the term, which was considerably less.
Considerably less. That's why they say you should buy a term and invest the difference.
Sure.
But keep in mind, this has a cash value. So they only have $14,000 to invest in the 401k plan. But they're putting money into a cash value policy. Now, by virtue of the fact that they're using actuarial bonds, as he calls it, the cash value in the insurance policy can act as a bond alternative. So you can tweak your 401k asset allocation to reflect the amount of money you have in, quote, actuarial bonds in the insurance policy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so in other words, it's as if you had the bonds.
Yes.
But they're not bonds. They're within the life insurance policy.
Right. So
which
now,
means that now my 401k allocation can change.
It could be 100% equities if you have enough bonds or enough cash value in the insurance policy.
Right. Now you got to go through this with your advisor and figure it out. But yes.
So let's go through the scenario at age 65. The median distribution of assets, and they're using a target date fund, which we'll talk about in a second if people don't know what that is.
Yep.
The median distribution of assets, in other words, all the money that you'd get out of the 401k, $1,860,000 in scenario one and $1,860,000 in scenario two, because they did the exact same thing. That's before they buy the annuity contract.
Again, scenario one, buy term, invest the difference.
Yep.
In the 401k is what it was.
Scenario three with the whole life insurance policy, $1,568,000, so 16% less money to distribute. However, that doesn't include the $311,000 in cash value.
Which is part of the insurance policy.
Which is part of the insurance policy. That at that time had a death benefit of $937,000. So let's go through the distribution of income. Let's take the two annuity contracts. Remember, at 65, you bought a life annuity. So there'd be $61,894 in the joint SPIA, and there'd be $72,584 in the single life SPIA. Why? Because you can get more if there's just one of you than if you got to insure two of you. Of course, there'd be zero in scenario one because you're just using investments there.
That's it.
Okay, now we get to the distribution. They were using a 3.5% systematic withdrawal as the baseline here.
3.5%, you're just taking it across the board.
Inflation adjusted.
Okay,
and
every year.
All of these numbers, by the way, are inflation adjusted.
Every year.
So, and if you want, I'll give you the name of the study again. You can look this up yourself. But the median distribution from the systematic withdrawal, 65 grand and change from the investments only, 32,000 from the joint SPIA, account, not from the SPIA, but from the money that's left over in the 401k, versus 22,000. So the systematic withdrawal is significantly better. But when you add the distribution of total income, that includes the income from the two different annuity contracts, here's what you get: 65,000 from just investments. If you use the joint SPIA, 94,000 and change. If you use the single SPIA, 94,000 and change. That's median distribution of income at age 65. You can spend, Johnny, 45% more money. Now, what's the problem with that? Well, there's got to be a trade-off. What do you think the trade-off is? You croak early.
Okay, if you croak early,
I'll get to that. You're one step ahead of our listeners. So distribution of legacy wealth at 66. How likely is it that both spouses would be dead at age 66?
Well, statistically not likely. And I guess if they're both gone, the only people that care anymore are the heirs.
And if that's the case, the heirs would get $1,866,000 from the investments only. They'd get $924,000 from scenario two because the term just expired.
Yes.
And they'd get $1,561,000 with the whole life and the investments, or 16% less money if they both died at age 66, which I would say is a statistically unreasonable.
Statistically,
both of them dead at 66.
It would be a statistical anomaly, as they say.
Now, at age 100, which would not be too far-fetched, let's take a look. There would only be $265,000 left over for the heirs in scenario one, using investments only.
Because you've drawn them down.
Only be $65,000 left in scenario two, because you've drawn it down and you don't have the death benefit. In scenario three, $1,460,000, or 451% more, whilst spending 45% more income for the last 35 years.
from 65 to
age 100.
Now you're saying if they died at 100, that's what it would be.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we just decided, based on the Society of Actuaries data, that there's about a 50% chance that one or the other will still be kicking at 95.
Even if you're still kicking at 90, I mean, which is probably even higher likelihood. I mean, this is what you have.
It defies all of the conventional wisdom. What do you hear? Buy term, invest the difference. It defies that conventional wisdom. Never buy an annuity. It defies that conventional wisdom. That you should only use investments and do a systematic withdrawal. It defies that conventional wisdom.
And it shows how you're better off defying all three.
And it's not just, you know, a nickel and a dime. We're talking 45% more spendable income. So the theme today was extending or expanding your retirement paycheck. There is a way to do it using actuarial science. When we come back, I'll give you more data.
Does your water stain and damage your market?
Keep listening to Biz Talk Radio.
Online at biztalkradio.com.
Were we just talking about these guys before the show?
The Eagles. Oh, they were talking about us.
Well, these guys had some egos, too,
but there was
a little bit of a clash here and
Don
there.
Don Felder got kicked out of the band because of ego.
It was, but you know what? I mean, Felder's a great musician.
Unbelievable.
He's got guitar fingers
let him in my band.
But you do have to understand that Henley and, at the time, Glenn Frey, were the founders. They were the leaders. And
we're talking about the Eagles, by the way, for those that are not, you know, ego fans or ego fans. But I think it was Felder that came up with that wicked guitar solo.
He wrote it. You've seen the story
Hotel
California.
Yeah, Hotel California.
Yes. Well, he came up with the intro.
Right.
And he was just noodling around one day. He said out in Malibu, he was out there and he had a tape recorder. This is one of like 15 demos he did, and Fry listened to it and said, "This could work."
Yeah.
And so it became the song. And I think
it's their signature song. And but the guitar work in that song is, I'm playing with a young guy now by the name of Josh, who can nail that.
Yeah.
Can nail that solo.
Well, Felder and Joe Walsh worked out the last, you know, it goes 3 minutes.
The harmonizing guitar part. It's just amazing.
Joe Walsh had said, you know what? We were trying to one-up each other. So Felder would come up with something,
right,
and Joe Walsh would say, oh, yeah? Let me try this one. Boom, boom, boom. And next thing you know, they're...
Reminds me of McCartney and Lennon and Harrison.
Yeah.
Once upon a time. What was the song they did that on?
Well, they on the end, they had
the
like
end.
A...
Yeah, it was on the end, yeah. So they went, they had, you know, non-synchronized...
Okay, you're first, I'm next, you're next, and we'll just keep going around.
It was really, really good.
They even gave Ringo a solo.
Very quickly,
yes.
just to capture what we were talking about, because when we discuss numbers on a radio program, it really flies over people's ears. Here's the takeaway. The takeaway is don't believe everything you read and everything you hear and some of the stuff that you see from the financial planning community, because it could be desperately wrong. If you want to learn about what I just went through with Johnny Dean, write this down. Optimizing retirement income by combining actuarial science and investments. Read it and call me back if you have questions, because that is a really, really compelling story, which debunks a lot of the stuff that people have been taught about financial planning, including advisors.
Oh, sure. Well, especially advisors. What it suggests is that you should combine you've got two risks. You live too long, you live too short, right? Well, if you live too long, you're going to need some form of guaranteed income. That's why part of this suggests that you should have some form of can I say the annuity word?
Yeah.
To keep your income coming guaranteed.
Right.
You don't live long enough, and you have a spouse who's left over or heirs, you're covered that with life insurance.
There's one other risk that it potentially mitigates, and that's the sequence of returns risk post-retirement. Now, it doesn't do much for the sequence prior to retirement, except that you have the cash value in the insurance policy. But that's a whole other discussion. There's an actuary by the name of Lauren Minches that I've spoke about before, and she has a solution that I'll talk about at a later date. In the meantime, I think we have some emails, don't we?
We do. Letters.
You've got mail.
We get letters.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Bowser.
Julio. Maybe we should have played the Julio song.
Oh, the mail.
No, I'm talking about the schoolyard, but that's okay.
Oh, me and Julio down the schoolyard.
Yeah, I don't think I did this one. If I did, I apologize. Julio, if I need $75,000 per year in retirement and I'm 10 years away, how much will I need to have saved?
Okay, so $75,000, assuming this is over and above your Social Security and other pensions and all that stuff,
yes.
All right? So if you need that for 30 years, Julio, and you can earn 3% on your money, that's about $1.5 million that you'll need to have in 10 years. So how much do you have to have saved now? Is that what he's asking?
How much will I need to have saved?
About $1.5 million is your magic number.
Now, if he's saved nothing and he's got 10 years,
well,
he's got some issues.
If you needed to get to $1.5 million, I'm pulling it into my calculator. I'm putting it
just
in
for
calculator.
Fun.
Over 10 years, and you can earn 5% on your money, Julio would need to save $119,000, $256 a year.
Unlikely, especially if he hasn't saved anything at all. All right, well, there's your answer, Julio. Okay, I got to do another one here. Gene has a question. Should I establish a 529 plan for my three grandkids, or would Roths be better?
Well, I don't know how the kids could do a Roth unless they have earned income. So the Roths would clearly be better, but I have a couple of other suggestions here. First off, the rules have kind of changed. You and I talked about this last week.
Yeah, we did.
The rules have kind of changed on the grandparent 529 plan. It doesn't count as an asset on the kid's balance sheet. It does count as income, which could be even worse for them. So you've got to be a little bit careful with that. But if the kids have earned income, I would definitely do the Roth. The other thing I might consider doing is, depending on your age and your insurability, maybe you take that same money and purchase a life insurance policy. Now, if it's definitely going to have to be allocated for education, perhaps not. But if it's really to do something cool for your grandkids, to leave them a legacy, I don't know. I'd think seriously about some kind of a second to die grandma, grandpa policy, which is pretty reasonable from the standpoint of pricing, depending on your age and health. But if I had my druthers between doing a Roth and a 529 plan, if the kids have earned income, it would definitely be a Roth, because that's not going to mess up the FAFSA form.
It's not going to mess up the FAFSA, and if for some reason they don't go to college, I know you can sort of ping-pong the 529, but, you know, if you only have, you got two or three grandkids, one gets a scholarship, so they don't need the money, you know, another one doesn't go to college, and the other one, you know, whatever. You're kind of limited in the 529 because it has to be used for somebody for education.
Yeah, that's
the Roth
that's
is not.
Yeah, I mean, the 529 is not bad, and it's gotten a little bit better under the Trump tax bill. You can now use up to $10,000 a year for private school or whatever, even for grade school.
The 529 plan still has. You can also still gift up to 5 years, I think, into the 529 plan. So there is that, and some states offer a break. Not all of them.
Yeah,
not the
states,
one we're sitting
you
in.
You get a state tax.
But in many, if not most states, are going to offer you some, you know, if you live in that state, they'll give you some.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's kind of a nice thing. Out of time already? I got more.
Well, we'll have to do them next hour.
We got more coming up.
Folks, thank you so much. And keep the emails flowing in. Go to raylucia.com, RayluciA.com. Click on the Ask Ray button. Shoot me an email. I do get back to everybody that I can personally. Now I'll go out and make it a perfect and blessed day. Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Ray Lucia Show, bringing you the best in money information, answering questions about your biggest financial challenges, talking about your money, your business, and your life. Ray Lucia is not a registered representative of or affiliated with any securities brokerage or investment advisory firm. The views and opinions expressed by Ray and his guests are not necessarily those of this station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult with the appropriate advisors before making any financial decisions. Ray is available
to take your questions online at Ray Lucia.com. This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for